Welcome to the Heal Thy Skin podcast. If you do a quick Google search of how many skin conditions exist, it's a few thousand, and they can affect people from all walks of life, from the most common to the rarest of the rare. Some are a born skin condition, some develop, and others are acquired instantly following a skin trauma or injury. Some skin conditions have no cure, so living with them is an ongoing learning experience for patients and families. And I'm very excited to announce, for the first time in the Heal Thy Skin podcast, we will be opening our space to a very special collaboration series called The A to Z of Skin Conditions. The A to Z of Skin Conditions special series is hosted by Dr. Anika Smith, board certified dermatologist, and it features skin experts from all around the globe to give insights on everything we need to know in skin anatomy and skin conditions from A to Z. These episodes will be dropping periodically, so make sure you tune in to every single episode so you don't miss one. Hey there, beautiful souls. Today I have some fantastic news to share with you all. We're making it official. Digital Health Co. is now powering the Derm Health Co. podcast. Digital Health Co. is the powerhouse and preferred partner for making you look good, sound great, and get found online. As a business owner in the beauty or medical aesthetic space, it's likely that you're wearing all of the hats, working all of the overtime, and juggling all of the things that it takes to run a successful business. Have you ever stopped to consider that when you started your business, you really just became a more overworked employee? But probably being paid less too. Well, Digital Health Co. have introduced a freebies library with the tools and expertise you need to shine online and really step into that true visionary role that you set out to achieve when you started your business. Picture this, a freebies library packed with carefully curated resources from what you need for a highly converting website to local SEO to 101 things to systemize in your business. It's going to help you really unlock that inner business genius. So if you're ready to sparkle in the digital landscape, head over to digitalhealthco.com.au/freebies. Right now. We're not sure how long the freebie library will be active for, so don't miss the opportunity to learn from the industry experts. You can head to the link or click the link in the show notes to unlock the power of Digital Health Co. and let your light shine.
This is episode number 4 of the A to Z podcast series.
The aim of the A to Z series is to provide you bite-sized pieces of dermatology wisdom shared by leaders in their field in order to educate, dispel myths, and encourage greater understanding about all things to do with the skin.
This podcast presents information of a general nature and the opinions of the presenters. It does not constitute and is not a substitute for formal medical review or advice. Please see your local doctor or dermatologist if you have any concerns about your skin or general health.
Hello and welcome. I'm Dr. Anika Smith, consultant dermatologist. I'm delighted to welcome dermatologist Dr. Shamala Gunathesan to the podcast today. Dr. Gunathesan is a consultant dermatologist in Melbourne, Australia and founding dermatologist of Ode Dermatology. Dr. Shamala is a fellow of the Australasian College of Dermatologists. She practices in all aspects of dermatology and has a dedicated subspecialty interest in hair and nail conditions. She's undertaken research at Harvard University and furthered her expertise with training in London and fellowships in New York. She has received numerous accolades for her research and publications in peer-reviewed medical journals and is often quoted in the media. Welcome, Shamala. It's such a pleasure to have you as a guest on the podcast to talk about all things to do with dandruff. Before we get started, can you tell us what you put on your skin this morning?
Well, I think I started with a splash of water. So my big thing is not washing your face in the morning with anything too soapy. I've got my vitamin B3, my vitamin C, and I've got my tinted sunscreen and a bit of powder.
Brilliant. It sounds all-encompassing. Well done. Can you tell us what it is you love most about the skin?
Well, I love that the skin is really the window to your well-being and your soul. You know, like we get so used to looking at ourselves every day that we know when something's a bit off. You know when you haven't slept well, you know when you're not glowing. But from a more medical perspective, you and I know that the skin, certain skin conditions can be manifestations of something going wrong internally. I love that bit. To be a good dermatologist, I always tell my patients, you've got to be a good detective. So that's what I love more. I can ask nosy questions about their lifestyle, you know, triggers, things like that, and then kind of putting that holistic plan for them. So the skin's just beautiful.
I love it. Okay, now let's get into dandruff and fire five questions your way. Let's start off first with the basics. Can you tell us in simple terms, what is dandruff?
So dandruff is really just those flaky little bits of skin that you see, you know, on your shoulders or on the floor, dead skin that's flaking off. And essentially that can be due to dryness in your scalp. But really the cause in most of us is due to these little clubbed yeast that live on our scalp. They are commensal, so they're normal. But sometimes when you've got an overgrowth of them or if you're having scalp sensitivity, they give you a reaction. And how it works is that we naturally produce these oils in our scalp and these yeast break it down. So they break it down in all of us, but some of the metabolites called oleic acid, for example, can irritate someone's scalp. So when you've got that inflammation, your scalp skin does not heal very well and so it just flakes off.
Are there any other reasons why it might happen? You mentioned the yeast, the Malassezia yeast are a key part in why dandruff or how dandruff comes about. Are there any other factors that might contribute to dandruff in certain individuals?
Genetics. So all of us kind of react differently to the Malassezia globosa that live on our scalp. Stress, unfortunately, can change the pH balance in your scalp. In women, hormones do play a part, and they can change the skin barrier of our scalp. Let's not forget all these products that we're using on our scalp. I would actually tell people to minimize things like sulfates, menthol, eucalyptus, alcohol. They do kind of strip that skin barrier of our scalp, causing that irritation, inflammation. But as dermatologists, we know that other conditions can be misdiagnosed as simple dandruff. So we touch upon psoriasis, eczema, SIBO psoriasis. So these are kind of more inflammatory conditions that can cause flaking of the scalp, which is a bit more than simple dandruff. Don't get me wrong. Simple dandruff is still very annoying. It can be itchy. It can be quite unsightly. It's not pleasant. But we would certainly want to try something over the counter first, but if things are not working, find your friendly dermatologist for an accurate diagnosis.
Completely agree. So to clarify, the other potential related skin conditions include eczema, psoriasis, so as you say, that overlap between seborrheic dermatitis and psoriasis, SIBO psoriasis. Brilliant. You mentioned over-the-counter approaches. Could you maybe run us through some basic over-the-counter approaches that someone might commence with to tackle their dandruff in the first instance?
I think the go-to would certainly be using those numerous over-the-counter anti-dandruff shampoos out there. They all have that key ingredient of zinc, a zinc derivative that's meant to be antifungal, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory. My tip would be not to go too hard on it, so use it once or twice a week, and it's certainly a very good starting point. There are kind of over the home remedies that I do like would be, you know, a little dash of white vinegar into your shampoo. That's a natural disinfectant without overwhelming your skin barrier. Those two kind of work in most cases. If you think you're getting really oily scalp and you want to reduce that scalp oil that the Malassezia then feed on, you could do a gentle salt scrub, you know, a little bit of coconut oil, Himalayan sea salt, a little bit of honey, and just kind of massage it through your scalp and then just wash it off. And I think the key is to wash it off properly because you don't want the coconut oil staying on either.
Brilliant. I love that little remedy. Tell me, are you an advocate for rotational therapy when it comes to antifungal shampoos, cycling through different antifungal shampoos on the basis that these Malassezia yeast may develop resistance over time to a particular product or ingredient?
Well, I think, you know, I never used to be an advocate of that, but your patients really teach you, you know, so they do record, they found that over the years, it's better to cycle. I don't think you need to cycle too quickly. So you would do it, you know, every 3 months. There's lots of different ones out there, from Head and Shoulders to 2% Nizoral shampoo. I think it's also technique, like how you really rub it into your scalp. The trick is to leave it in for about, you know, 2 minutes before you wash off. People with the same product, you do get a bit lackadaisical, and you just kind of get blasé about it, really. So it's more the kind of the technique and how long the contact is for than cycling. But cycling is probably making sense every 3 months.
Beyond over-the-counter approaches, if you're not winning, what then do you think would be the next step from a therapeutic perspective?
I would think, you know, it's sensible to see your GP, and if you've got access to your dermatologist, that'll be the key thing to do. You know, the diagnosis earlier on does change things, and you and I must find that the earlier you intervene, either with some mild topical steroids or something with a vitamin D and a steroid, or even just a steroid-based shampoo, does seem to reduce that overall inflammation in your scalp. So early intervention is key, I think, with this. And we've got a huge range of therapeutic agents we can use.
Completely agree. So to recap, a therapy that targets the yeast, so an anti-yeast, antifungal therapy, and then, as you say, potentially a topical steroid to target the inflammation that the yeast may be generating, depending on the severity of the dandruff, yeah, or the seborrheic dermatitis. When do you think someone should see a specialist in the skin regarding their scalp, specifically dandruff?
I think if you're losing a lot of hair with it, that's important. If you're getting symptoms of itch, it's affecting your quality of life. If you're, and also if you've got the interest, look at those scales. You know, if you're getting inflamed large pieces of scale, you're probably more looking into something like psoriasis. So I would say these are kind of trigger points to be a bit more proactive about your health. Scalp pain is another thing that I tell my patients, you know, if you're getting kind of scalp tenderness or what we call scalp dysesthesia, makes sense to come in a bit earlier, because you can have coexisting conditions like male or female pattern thinning or balding, where your dermatologist could help you with that at an early stage.
Any other general recommendations to optimize one's scalp health?
You know, I think the main thing is probably not, it's that perfect balance of not overwashing your scalp and underwashing it, where you've got tons of sebum and all these other products that are not being removed. So keep your hair routine a bit on the simpler end. You know, if you're using lots of dry shampoo, go slow, because that will clog your follicles a bit, you know, and making sure that you're not leaving on these anti-gray rinses on for too long. They can sometimes irritate the scalp. I like massaging of the scalp. I think circulation is key with the face, with the hair, in terms of hair health. So a good relaxing, you know, massage once a week would generally help your hair health. I'm a big fan of vitamin B3 as a serum on the face, and I wonder if we should be looking for things like niacinamide in terms of our hair health, and to reduce that kind of sebum buildup. A once a week clarifying shampoo would be a good idea also.
Brilliant. I love the addition of a scalp massage for all. I think you're going to have everyone terribly excited about incorporating that into their skin health routines, if you like.
You know, the one thing that you also, we were talking about things that you can do before you see a specialist is to really work out what lifestyle changes have caused that increased dandruff. You know, are you a bit more stressed? Are you not sleeping as well? How's your gut health? I'm a big advocate of your gut health impacting your skin, hair, and nails. So if you've got little things that you can do, like sensible stuff, like reducing your sugar and gluten and dairy, having a bit more probiotics, looking into that diet element does seem to help a lot of my patients.
Yeah, and tell me on that front, are you, first of all, do you suggest people amp up their dietary sources of probiotics, or do you routinely, depending on their skin, scalp, nail issue at play, routinely suggest taking a probiotic as an adjunct to their skin health routine, or is it a bit of a combination?
I think it's a combination. You know, I think you want to get, look into those healthy foods. You might have a bit more kombucha. You might have a bit more fermented yogurt. But with the modern medicine and technology, we do have access to so many different strains of lactobacillus. So I'm not sure if I recommend a particular strain, but I'm just like, go for it. Go for the probiotics. And I think the latest research on prebiotics seem really exciting, you know, something that you can take as a precursor for your own bacteria to work on. So I see no harm in having a teaspoon of that every day.
Thank you. Now, can I ask, do you have any additional suggested resources or go-tos for our listeners, particularly those that may suffer from dandruff?
I always point my patients to DermNet NZ. You know, it really writes well. It kind of addresses it according to the causes, what you can do, practical points. I think I've done lots of podcasts in a Mamma Mia. These are kind of media sources that have talked about hair health. I find Bridey, which is an online kind of hair, skin health online portal, it's quite good for that everyday person looking up resources. That's pretty good. And, you know, things like Enroute, they've all kind of talked about dandruff. Bridey, Enroute, DermNet NZ. And I would look up my website or my Instagram handle. And I think over the years, we've done a few different articles and been interviewed. And I feel the media just write it very well in a bite-sized point.
Yeah, perfect. We will link to some of those. So you've already mentioned it. I was going to say, where can listeners go to find out more about you and the work you do in the dermatology space? So you've mentioned your website, Instagram channel, and I believe you have a new venture, a new practice, Ode Dermatology. Tell me more about that.
Well, yes. Hopefully, if everything goes well, in about 2 months, we're going to be launching Ode Dermatology. And really, once again, that question, what you said about why do I love the skin? It's because it's just our largest organ. And I've called it Ode because it's like an ode to yourself. It's an ode to your skin, like a love poem to your hair, skin, and nails. But essentially, it'll be very medical dermatology, but, you know, having that whole spectrum of aesthetic dermatology, hair health, cutting edge technology all weaved into one. And so the idea is that, you know, the consumer, our patients would have that full level of control by a dermatologist who knows their skin, hair and health and nails intimately.
Brilliant. It sounds very exciting. All the best with it. Now, to close, we have some rapid fire questions. What are your top key takeaways from today's podcast that you'd like our listeners to walk away with?
I think the main thing would be to look out for change. You know, if you've never had any issues with your hair before and you're having dandruff, you're having a bit of hair fall, your scalp texture feels different, your hair is brittle, listen to it. I think our body's very good at giving us cues. So it's being aware of our changes and seeking the right help early.
What's one thing, in your opinion, all women and men for that fact who may be listening should do for their skin health?
Sleep, eat well, and the more I read about it, you know, like intense exercise, like even if you do those kind of interval trainings, like 1 minute where you're VMAX or you're out of puff and then you relax and then you go and do that, even 10 to 15 minutes literally changes the way your genes express and you turn on your anti-aging genes, your longevity genes. So, you know, it sounds awful, but my grandma's advice still kind of holds true, like sleep well, eat in moderation and exercise. And look after your skin. I mean, we've got very good access to cosmeceuticals. Use it early and use it judiciously. And hopefully that, you know, stalls this aging or, you know, biohack your lifestyle, I guess.
I love it. Out of curiosity, how much high intensity exercise should we be doing a week for our skin health, but also anti-aging benefits? Is there a perfect number? in terms of minutes?
Yes, I think from what I've been reading a few different books, and this guy called Lazarus. It's called the Lazarus Strategy. So this dude is a medical doctor, done lots of research, lived till 80. Actually, he might be still alive. He's 84. He still does high interval biking.
Wow.
And he reckoned literally you need about just 10 to 15 minutes about 3 to 4 times a week.
Amazing. That sounds pretty achievable, doesn't it? We just need to do it.
Yeah. Mm. You know, it kind of gives us a, like, I used to go, oh, I've got to do an hour of something. And now I just go, oh my God, I just need to do 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It does point out how lazy you can get, though.
I imagine being in Melbourne, everything, you'd be used to doing it at home, right? From the luxury of your own home, you know, via the laptop. Yes. You're used to being self-sufficient with these things, the home workout. Yes. Because you had almost a year of lockdown.
Yeah. Well, it feels like a year. Yes.
excellent. Now tell us, what will you put on your skin tonight?
So I will probably start with a micellar cleanse, uh-huh. And then I'd use a lipid rich cleanser, and then I'll put my kind of alpha hydroxy acid to help with the skin renewal, uh-huh. And then my favorite retinol.
Brilliant.
Which, if I have to recommend a brand, would be the Rationale's No. 6 creme. I've used it for, you know, 15 years or 12 years at least, and it's brilliant. It's just light, it always works, and it doesn't kind of inflame the skin, which is kind of the ethos I think we're all kind of moving towards, where our skin naturally knows how to behave. You know, you want to just optimize it. You don't want to overwhelm it. Mm. Same thing with our scalp, actually. We should have mentioned that you want to maintain the pH of the scalp. We don't want to be overloading it with stripping agents. Our body's really good at renewing itself, and we should be just using products that are hair identical or skin identical to augment the process, as opposed to, how do I say, completely reframe it.
I like it. I can vouch for the efficacy of your product at night. Your skin is glowing from where I'm sitting. And finally, your favorite quote or motto that you live by, if there's anything that comes to mind.
Life is for the curious mind.
I like that.
I think the minute you stop being curious, like, you stop being interested, you know, I think as clinicians, part of the joy is, yes, you can diagnose a condition, but it comes with a person and a story. And that's the most fabulous bit. You know, I get pretty cross when my 6-year-old goes, Mom, I'm bored. I'm like, no way. You cannot be bored. You know? So I think it is for that curious journey.
Mm. I completely agree. I love it. I think when the curiosity's gone, it's all over. So stay curious. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the podcast. Thank you so much for sharing your time and your wisdom. You have a wonderful way of conveying things in a beautifully simple, succinct, yet powerful manner. So thank you. I just want to say, is there anything else?
Having me.
You're very welcome.
Such a nice time just chatting and bantering. It's just easy.
Can I ask, is there anything else that you want to mention before we wrap up?
No, and I just want to say thank you for doing this. You know, these are kind of things that people Google and never get a proper perspective on it. So it's really nice to have an authority podcast that's so achievable and understandable for the everyday person. Well done.
No, thank you. So I look forward to watching your continued growth in this space. Thank you so much for your time, but more importantly, good luck with Ode Dermatology. It sounds like such an exciting adventure, and it sounds like the place to go in Melbourne. Can you tell us where it's going to be, as an aside? Which part of Melbourne are you setting up in?
So it's going to be on Gertrude Street, which is a lovely street, lots of character, very near the city, but that kind of inner north vibe. And yeah, it'll be fun. You know, I always say, Anika, like, this is kind of the place that I want to grow old, you know, for myself, you know, so you can kind of just literally anti-age your whole body, but, you know, maybe get a muscle, development, lose a bit of unwanted fat pockets, get rid of cellulite, but making sure that you've got no skin cancer and your hair is healthy and your nails kind of grow the right way. So kind of to have that whole picture. Mm-hmm. And you know that you can just go in and just go, oh, just sort me out.
It sounds like a one-stop shop. We need the incorporation of the scalp massage and the high intensity option on the side as well. And then you've covered all realms. I love it.
Well, you have to come and visit, honestly.
I definitely will. In Melbourne. I definitely will. Yes, that's a must. Thank you.